Welcome to Messy Buns Podcast. I am Mary.
This is Elise.
Why is it so hard to say no?
I don't know, but it's really hard.
It's so hard. And also, God limits us, or we limit ourselves. What's the difference?
I don't know. Who knows? Are we going to talk about it?
I hope so. So this is about that time of year. Of the mass slaughter of innocent butterflies. I knew you were not expecting that. On the Causeway Bridge.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I know the birds.
Speaking of limitations.
I haven't driven on the Causeway Bridge. I know the birds, the ones where the mass slaughter of birds.
Okay. So if you live in the New Orleans Metairie area, you're familiar. Okay, the Causeway Bridge. It's actually interesting side fact that
side note.
I know. I try not to say side note. That it is like the longest bridge in the world, or now maybe the second longest.
I forget. It's always like
China just outdid us, of course. Yeah, but it's basically a 23, just over 23 mile long.
There's something like non-suspension. It's like something like non-suspension.
Okay, we're speaking English here, at least.
Whatever.
You're sounding so smart. Anyway.
Oh.
Anyway, so it's just this time of year. I when I first moved over to the North Shore like 4 years ago, it was this time of year. Evidently, so like it's a super long bridge over the lake, Lake Pontchartrain. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that like caterpillars end up on this bridge and then they go in their cocoons and then they, what do you call it, Wenna? Wow. Okay. You know, they become butterflies. Come out of their cocoon. So I'm assuming this is the time of year.
There's just a bunch of cocoons under the bridge.
Yes. There's literally butterflies.
So they couldn't be migrating from somewhere else. They're just on the bridge,
I think. So anyway, this happened last year. Every year I remember because you're driving 65 miles an hour over this bridge and you can't swerve out of the way of the butterflies. And I hate it. I drive on the bridge like, no,
you just cried.
Not another one.
Bob, Sophia.
It's so sad. Bob, Sophia, are you naming the butterflies?
Yeah.
So anyway, I just had to talk about this because it's
very traumatic.
I'm feeling guilty, but it's not my fault.
Do you need to make an appointment with our counselor?
Y'all, please call us, write us in. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If you travel the Causeway Bridge, rest in peace, butterflies.
And birds, because then there's the bird time of year where it's the mass.
I've never actually run into a bird, though, just the butterflies. This is weird. So it's a specialist, please confirm my caterpillar theory. And moving on.
Wow. Wow.
You didn't know this.
I don't even know how to transition from that.
Do it.
So, yeah. Why is it so hard to say no?
That works.
to massacring butterflies. No, I'm kidding. Well, okay. So we've been talking about last episode. We talked about vanity, which I think is like a really good kind of transition into this because like the underlying, most often the underlying cause of a lack of saying no when you should be saying no is vanity because you're worried about what other people are thinking or going to think or how they're going to react.
Or what they're thinking and not telling you they're thinking.
Oh my goodness.
We're overthinkers.
Yeah,
so
exactly. Always. And so I think it's a really important subject because when you, okay, so here's the thing. I have a problem.
Oh, there's a thing.
Yeah. I have a problem, like a real bad problem where I can't say no. And not only can I not say no, I find ways to put things on top of those things that I should be saying no to and adding things because everything has to be big, grand, and amazing when it comes
You're also a doer, so you don't like to not do anything.
Yeah.
So anything to do, like, yes, please.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, so here's the deal. So I, am like a massive overdoer. And I truly, I mean, I have a strong prayer life and I discern a lot. And sometimes I think I really do discern these things. But then I have such a problem that somehow I've convinced myself that the Lord has said I should be doing these things.
You're like, I discern, I promise.
I promise I discern this. Okay. And then I'm wondering why at the end it all fell apart. But okay. So I was talking about like the fact that You know how like a father is so awesome, like parents are so awesome, where they like they when you don't have like the ability to make good choices, they'll make them for you.
Yeah.
You know, they'll give you those boundaries.
Yeah.
And like, I remember when I was younger, my mom, I hated napping. Like, I still don't like napping. Okay. I have to be real sick to nap. Okay. And she used to tell me that I would purposely get myself in trouble. So I'd get sent to my room and then she'd go up there and I'd be passed out. Cause all I needed was, I was just tired, you know. Now, granted, I was probably just cranky and that's why I got in trouble because I needed to nap. Uh-huh. So I feel like right now, that's kind of what the Lord is doing with me.
He's forcing you to nap.
It's forcing me to nap.
Oh.
Because I don't know. I have not gained the life skills of saying no, because my vanity can be so overactive and my people pleasing can be so overactive.
You have overactive vanity. Is there a pill for that?
I wish. I think it's called confession.
Oh. Continue.
But literally, I've gotten to the point now where I feel like he's given me so many chances to overcome this. And every time I just really suck at it. And so now he's like, okay, so we're going to put you in your room and we're going to take all the things away so that we can finally learn this lesson that you need to start discerning better and saying no, and that you can't do everything.
We're laughing, but this is serious.
But it is serious. So yeah. I have always had health issues my whole life. And I've always been, and I think that's another reason why, like, I'm always overcompensating, because I never wanted to be honest about those health issues. So I was like, I can do it. I'm fine, you know? Mm-hmm. And now my health issues have gotten to the point where I am so limited. Like, I'm pretty much homebound, and it's day to day, moment to moment on how I'm going to feel. Like today, the first day I've had in like a month, and I called you up and was like, let's podcast, you know? But like
after we go to dinner.
Yeah, I know. I was like, get me out of this house. But that didn't happen, you know, because it probably wasn't a smart idea. It was probably too much. But I was just like, let me out, yes. You know. But my whole point in saying all this is that like, suffering can be really good, and God gives us limitations for a reason. And it goes along with that whole obedience thing as well, is that like, the Lord wants more for me. He wants me to be set free of this thing that I do to myself, where, you know, I'm afraid to say no to people. And so I get so overwhelmed and so overworked that everything starts falling apart around me, you know, my relationship with him, my relationship with you, my relationship with Will. And like right now, he's forcing me to focus on things like the most important things, like that should be priority. And he's literally teaching me, like, because my body's so sensitive, these are things that you should stay away from. These are things, because when you're feeling good, you can justify doing things even when you know it may be more stressful or that it's just really not the right thing because you're feeling good, you know?
Yeah.
But when your body is so limited, and my body is really sensitive to stress in like an intense way right now, so I have to be so careful about what I do. But because of that, I'm learning so much about myself, my own limitations, where I need to accept that I have limitations, and that's holy. That being obedient to God and being like, okay, so you don't want me to do this, not because I'm not good enough to do it, but maybe it's just not a good idea for right now. Maybe it's even a better idea for later, or maybe never. But accepting God's will and like growing through that, you know? And if it hurts somebody's feelings, if, you know, I know that there's probably friends out there that were more acquaintances that I don't talk to anymore, and they're probably hurt by that. But unfortunately, that's where God has me right now. And although I would love to have the energy to be there for them, that's, God isn't providing that for me right now. And so I'm having to live within obedience and limitations that he's giving me, you know?
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
I know sometimes it is consciously thinking like, I don't want to disappoint this person. I'm worried about what they'll think about me. But all the time, like, I'm wondering, like, is there ever a time when you're thinking more of like, no, I want to do this.
Oh, absolutely.
Talk about that too.
It's a double whammy because I'm a doer. Mm-hmm. So it's your, oh my gosh. Yeah. That's like a whole nother podcast. Right. Like, absolutely. I'm not saying that it's always for other people. I think it's, you know, you're constantly wrestling, you know, with yourself and, but I want to do, like, I am a doer. So it's like, the more I do, the more I can conquer, the more I can affect this world. Like, I have such a desire to change the world. I have such a desire to bring the gospel to the world. I have such a desire to help people and fix people and, like, you know, and that, but the problem is that it's often at the expense of myself and the ones I love, you know?
Yeah.
And for instance, William, oh my gosh, this was really powerful. So like William shared with me one time, he was like, Elise, like I'll come home from feeling good about, like, say I, you know, when I was a youth minister and I stayed like an hour later with a kid to help him, you know, talk through this thing or whatever. Well, I didn't tell my husband I was coming home late. I get home late, I'm exhausted and I'm tired. So now I'm cranky and I'm snapping at him. And he's basically like, Elise, like, I'm the one that gets the brunt of it, you know? Like, my limitation was that hour that I was supposed to have with that kid. And then I extended it out for him, mm-hmm. you know, even though it really wasn't, you know, because I'm feeling good about it and I'm like, we're going here, you know. But my limitation was that hour and I wasn't obedient to it. Mm-hmm. And what happens is then my spouse suffers.
That's right.
You know, so working, that's another thing, is like working within those limitations. We have to know that, like, it's for love of others too, that the limitations don't just affect us, or when we overdo our limitations, when we go past our limitations, it affects other people.
Well, and it's not just with work or things like that. It's extracurriculars. It's
absolutely
anything daily. We need to be checking ourselves and asking ourselves the questions. Am I, you know, fulfilling my responsibilities to God first and foremost, to my husband, to my children, like to my home? And that's some, I mean, I suck at these things, but I'm saying these are questions that I ask myself, like, okay, here's something I want to go do or work on.
Right.
Are the dishes washed? You know, yes, like, is my husband, like, is he fed? And I don't mean like, did I put dinner in front of him? Right. I mean, like, emotionally, am I meeting his needs?
Right.
Does Bella have everything she needs? Like, if one of those things are lacking, the answer is no. Like, right, you don't have to go discern or pray about it. Like, these are your priorities. Right. These are our priorities. We need to be checking those things daily.
Oh, daily. Absolutely.
And also something else that I think of and I struggle with, but I'm aware of, and I need to be thinking of it daily too, is that, like, especially when you're doing ministry, and like, we both have a lot of different ministries that give us a lot of joy. Right. And it's not work most of the time to go and do these things.
Right.
But like, when we're trying to bring Jesus to other people in so many in different ways, mm-hmm. whether it's directly or via this other avenue, like, well, where was our prayer?
Yes.
Like, when I first started writing, I wouldn't go and sit and start writing my lyrics until I prayed a rosary. That was like what I felt like I needed to do. I'm not saying you always have to go say a rosary before you do something, but like, did I spend the time in prayer that I, like, is my heart right with God before I can go and try to serve him?
Well, and it's funny that you bring this up, because I'm like, I would say this to the kids all the time. Like, we had a leadership group, you know, the junior core team.
Yes.
And so there was certain stipulations of being in the junior core team. One, you know, that your relationship with God is priority, then comes your family, then comes your vocation as a student, you know? And we were like, if those things are not in line, then you can't be on junior core team. Like, it's an extracurricular.
And what a great thing that you set in place with that too.
Well, but
it teaches them so much about responsibility too.
And it's, but if, and I used to say them, ultimately, I was like, you know, if you're coming to me, and I used to do what we called like mentoring, like they come in, we talk about the spiritual life. I'd be like, if you don't have time for Jesus and a relationship, a personal, intimate relationship with him, you don't have time for junior core team. Like, if you're overworked, like, if that is the most important thing, is having that daily relationship with him. And if you don't have time for that, you don't have time for junior core team. And not that you're no good to me, but his relationship is more important than you being on some leadership team.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You're focused, forming the way someone thinks. Right. And it's, we have to make sure that we're in the same line. I love that. I love that you did that. I think think that's perfect, because it's not just with junior core team. It's just in general, adults get, we get overexcited about things that are not important.
Oh yeah.
Look at football on Sundays.
And we,
you know,
we make them out like they are, like that's the, but what's so funny, and I needed to hear that. It's, I think that's so beautiful. Like, let me check myself. Is my husband fed? Mm-hmm. Is my, you know, like, are all of these responsibilities before I go and do these other things, are they done? Like, sometimes it's like as simple as like the dishes. You know, like before I go and do like a post about my ministry or a video, my husband already has enough on his plate. He doesn't need to be doing the dishes as well. So let me go do these dishes. So when he comes home, he's got something clean, because inevitably I'm not feeling well and he's got to make dinner that night or whatever, you know?
What is it? Small things with great love?
Yes.
Who was it? Which Teresa?
It was...
The flower?
The flower.
Little flower?
Yeah. It was the little flower.
I love that. I don't know. Love all the Teresas.
Yeah.
But... I just love that, because when we're talking about becoming saints, we have this one idea in our head of what saints are supposed to be. Yeah. And I feel like these saints are like, no, like love in the small ways, like wash the dishes, do it with love.
Right.
Like do our responsibilities, do them each day with love. That's how you become a saint. We don't need to be doing these public things that are doing, you know, being stoned or whatever in the public. So everybody, you know, that's not what's making us saints. It's loving in the place that God has put us today.
Well, and I always bring this up, and I wish I could remember who said it, but they were talking about, like, if you want to know the extent of your holiness, look at the people, like look at the people that are closest to you and how you treat them. Yeah. Because like you were saying, like it's so much. I know we're working on it. He needs to get them from you. I think he's, or we need to figure that out.
We
need
to figure out any. So.
But oh gosh, what was I saying? Cause there was a point to that.
Sorry. It was totally my fault. Totally derailed that conversation.
Well, but I think the reality is that, you know, we just have to, We have to say no.
It's as simple as that. I mean, just have to learn.
We do.
Well, it's a lot about self-control and being introspective too. Like, what is God calling me to do right now? A lot of times it is a lot harder to say no.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of it.
Well, and it's just the fact that like the things we think are important are not important. You know, that's another thing about having so many limitations. The things that I'm learning is like the things that used to be a big deal, or that I were like, no, these things have to happen, are no longer at all. Like the things that I'm realizing when you get down to survival, like, and that's, this is what happens. Like when you get into survival mode, you need clothes. You need to eat. You need to go to the bathroom. You need to be healthy, drink water, you know, like, and keep your house up, you know what I mean? Like, and make money somehow. Like there, you get to these very basic things that you're like, you take those things for granted, you know, but loving, like, and that's the hardest thing. Like my spiritual director, when all this was going on, and I was like, I was feeling so, I go from being like a youth minister at a big parish, you know, and what I felt I was doing a lot of God's good work and really affecting change, to literally being homebound and being like shut off from everybody. And he was like, Elise, he's like, but you're doing more good work by suffering alongside Christ and praying and offering this up, then you, he's like, your prayer and your offering up your suffering is way more powerful than you giving talks and doing youth group and everything else. But that's hard, because you see the effects of it in the kids' eyes, in the way that people treat you and all that, and which is still there's that vanity. You
feels
get
good.
Yeah, it feels good. But when you are suffering and you're doing these daily tasks and even just doing the dishes and offering that up when I don't feel good or whatever is more powerful than giving some talk to 500. Like I went from 1 year giving a talk to like 500 plus teens and diocesan people in DC to being in my bed, you know what I mean? And like, it's such, I had to, like, there's
how
been
humbling.
So much purification. Yeah, humbling. It's purifying to know that like I have purpose and I have meaning, like even with these limitations, that God can work powerfully. And if I'm obedient in this time, and who knows, maybe this will be for the rest of my life. I don't know, you know, but if I'm obedient in this time and I accept it and I work within my limitations, he can still do amazing things.
Well, you also don't know his plan. None of us know his plan. So what we see as impacting all these people and doing these wonderful things is maybe not as impactful as something else he has planned for.
Right.
So that's when trust comes in.
Oh, absolutely.
And again, obedience to say, look, I can't see this right now, but I trust you. If this is where you need me to be, then I accept that. I think that's like the holiest, most beautiful prayer any of us can do. Like, all right, this is not what I plan or what I like for myself. Like, this doesn't look like fun, but I accepted this. If this is where you want, there's a really good reason for that.
Which is hard. It's just absolute like surrender, you know what
I mean? And you did ultimately say no, because you walked away from that job. So I don't want to like gloss over that, because that was a horrifying decision for both you and Will. Yeah, it was so difficult. Hard. And
I'm still sad.
Absolutely.
I still want to run back there and be like, I miss my baby.
That was a great loss on both sides. No doubt. No one would argue that. But you saw that there was a time and a season for that. And it was shorter than you wanted.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, God called you away. You were able to see that, and you were able to make that hard decision.
And it's like, but I want to say this, that it's okay. Like, to kick and scream, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. that's part of the process, and to cry and to hurt and have to admit things, you know, that it's hard for me. Like, I had to unfollow their page, our page, because it was so painful. You know what I mean? It's still so painful. You know what I mean? Like, so you have to, like, we can sit here and talk about all these things and living within God's limitations, but this is like, you know, mm-hmm. we're always going through the struggle. It's always going to be hard to go through these things. It's a matter of the resolution of coming to, in spite of the feelings, in spite of the hurt, in spite of, you know, the limitations I feel, I choose to believe. You know what I mean? But I kind of want to get to a story that we were talking about earlier with you, because I think this has to do a lot with, I think we have a problem in the church with saying no. Mm-hmm. In fact, you see this a lot in parishes where there's kind of this competitive spirit, you know, where it's like, well, I'm doing 10 ministries, why aren't you? Or I'm here all the time, why are you not?
Or that you're only as useful as the amount of ministries or jobs. Yes. Or duties you can sign up for.
And well, you know, like, we can only pay you this much because we're the church, but you can't live off of that. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they're, you know, so when you can say no to the church, what?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, that's like, I feel like that's one of the hardest things, because it's like, well, but it's the church. You just give until you die and your bones or your skin is falling off your bones. You know what I mean?
There's a difference between charity and being used.
Yes. Yes.
Period.
Yes.
So we, both sides, the church and employees of the church, or even volunteers, God is not asking us to be used. So we have to know our worth and our limitations. Mm-hmm. And there's a point when we need to say no. Basically, I was in a situation a long time ago. I was a youth minister for, it was just like a short 2 years. It was a position Elise stepped into before me.
Nobody wanted it.
Nobody wanted it.
Because they were paying $50 a month.
Well, to give you my perspective on it, though, like, I didn't even know it was a paid job. Like, I was so young at the time. I really didn't know anything.
Oh, yeah. You weren't in it for the money.
You weren't either. We were there.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a need. And we enjoyed doing this. We had been in youth ministry our whole lives. I didn't think I was good enough by any means. And so I wasn't even thinking about taking the position. There was a need. It at least fit it. And so she took it first. Why did you? I don't remember. Oh, is that when you moved?
This is what talk about always God using me as a fire starter. So nobody wanted this position.
Like my own personal fire starter too.
It's so funny. Okay, so the reason I left was because I was feeling at the time that I was supposed to go back to Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And I had discerned that I was going to leave and go back to Pennsylvania. Will had like found an apartment. I had found an apartment in Ohio and everything.
Did you tell me this? Because I don't remember, and I would have been really sad.
Yeah. Well, yes, I would have had to, because that's why I left. But then what's crazy is he had, so Father Bo and I were talking, and he, like, so I called him up, and I was like, okay, so FYI, things, plans have changed. Like, the Lord has kind of turned that back around. It was through discernment and prayer that I felt, which was the best decision I ever made.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, Mary, like, we already told Mary she's hired. And
I don't even remember this part of it.
Well, I mean, you never knew that. I never told you that. And he was like, well, you know, because we had something going good, you know, and he was like, well, but and that's, it is what it is. Like, I wasn't meant to stay there. You were meant to take over, right, you know, for that period of time.
And speaking of fire starters, I don't know, whatever you did, I just completely forgot about this because, again, I didn't think I was good enough. But whatever you, us being together, like, you gave me that strength and courage, and I stepped into a position completely unaware of, like, having anything to, I just didn't know anything.
And you did fantastic.
But you say hire. That's just so cute that you use the word hire.
I know,
because that's
I know.
What we're
Let's
joking about
this.
Because it was specifically told to me it was a volunteer position that would get a stipend.
Right.
And so it did, and it was increased from $50 to $200 a month at that point. But again, I would have probably done it for free. Like, I wasn't expecting the money at all. Like, it was just, we were there, we're helping, and we grew it. It was great. Like, we did a really good job. We had a lot of experience and had a lot of great people working with us that helped it to grow. It was a team effort, huge team effort. And man, God, he grew me so much in that role to, like, be a leader. Like, I just always considered myself a follower, not a leader. And it's just beautiful to see what God can do when we just present ourselves. Yeah. But over the course of 2 years, like, as most people know, having a youth minister role, and I just really had half the role. I didn't have to do the paperwork like you did in the job you just left. Yeah. I just had the fun part, really.
Yeah.
I was able to, like, plan the nights as a group. We did that, and I you know, all the other, you know, other responsibilities, but, like, we took the first 2 years, a Steubenville trip, like, I organized a whole trip. I'm just so proud of myself.
Oh my gosh, you did such a good job.
Like, fundraisers, like, I know nothing about that stuff. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
God,
like, giving us gifts and talents, like, that was not me. It was totally him. But after 2 years, like, I started to track my hours, and it was, like, between 20 and 40 hours a week, like, at least a part-time job. And I was getting paid $200 a month. And at some point, it was just like...
Well, and, like, talk about what you were doing at this point in your life, too.
I was in school.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So you're a full-time student.
Yeah.
While trying to...
That's true. Yeah. And once a week, youth nights, meetings, and, like, doing this. It was just so eventually I did some research. Like, what are people in this role usually paid in the archdiocese?
Right, right.
I kept track of my hours. I wrote down what I was doing, how long I was doing it. It was a really vulnerable position to walk into the pastor and be like, look, this is what I'm doing. This is what I really think I deserve. Something. I don't even think I gave a number. I was just like, this is what other youth ministers are making.
Right.
Like, invest your youth, please. Like, this is our youth.
Which is a problem in our church.
It is. And people know this.
Yeah.
And I got emotional because it was that at that point. It was just so emotional. And
well, as a youth minister, we all know you give of yourself in a way that's very draining emotionally, physically. Your time is just completely gone. Like, it becomes your life for, like, it, like, your whole life is sucked into that.
Yeah.
So it is an emotional thing because you're giving so much of yourself.
Yeah. And he looked me in the eye and he said, no. I mean, and I cried. I felt like he was telling me, you are not worth it. You know, like, who knows what was really on his heart, but it was just a bad situation. And I said,
it wasn't a good experience.
I can't do this anymore. And it was sad, but I guess empowering at the same time, just to know your worth. And I don't know. I wouldn't say it was empowering. It was very sad because we formed something really beautiful.
Right.
But I just couldn't do it anymore. And it was time to walk away and say no.
And how was that? Like, because I think that's, like, you would expect, and this is what's so crazy to me, we were talking about this, that, like, when it comes to the church, it's like, well, everything you do for the church is a good thing. You know, like, God would never say no. God would never say no to growing a ministry, or he would never tell you to stop a ministry. Like, how did you work through that? And, like, what did you see come from that?
Well, I was really immature at the time, too. So that factors into it. Like, this was my first, I don't want to say it was a big girl job, because it started as a volunteer work with a stipend. But the thing is, you can't ask someone to be a youth minister for a stipend. Like, it requires a lot more if you're going to do anything with it. And so I didn't like how I handled it the best, but I mean, also it's just God was calling me to other things at that point to move on and focus on. Right. It was a real practice in humility. I'd like to look anything like that to say, what did I learn? Like, I grew so much from the experience of that disappointment and going in front of him in this scary situation, being told no, and then letting me walk out the office crying. Right. It was a good big girl lesson for me. And as far as discernment, moving forward, like, cause I, you know, youth ministry was a big part of my life, a big part of my heart.
Yeah.
And say, okay, God, where now? What now?
Yeah.
And, really,
and what happened after that? Like,
I just finished school and I started my full-time job, a physical therapist assistant. So like I had my first real big girl job, you know?
Right, right.
And there were no other avenues for me at that point. So it wasn't until I started working with you that I got to get my feet back in, or my hands back into that kind of work.
Right, right. But that's the beauty of it is, like, I think your story is even more powerful in the sense of, like, you didn't necessarily see right away what God was doing.
Yeah, no.
But yet you can look back now and be like, okay, I had to say, because you had to recognize these are my limitations. It would have been so easy to be like, okay, I'll keep going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it wasn't good for you mentally, emotionally, you know, and you had to be like, no, I have to love myself more. I have to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling me that I have limitations.
Well, and had I discerned it better and been in more prayer, like I have a much better prayer life today than I did back then, I would have left much earlier. You know, like the problem is that it got to a point where my mental health and was struggling. Like I was being abused. Okay, I don't want to go that far. I don't mean abused so much as just used in that way. But that's the thing. We don't say no. We go till we're like dying and starving and emotionally just so hurt.
Well, and it's sadly there is a culture of that in our church.
Yeah.
Like, and it's something that we need to work on is like self-care. Like that working for a parish, literally it's like, well, I stay, I do this, I do that. Well, I'm always here. And it's like, well, but maybe you shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like maybe you shouldn't always be working. Maybe you shouldn't always be here because that isn't good for your family or you, you know? So we need to call each other on in the church and be saying, like, pastors and shepherds and office managers and everybody need to be setting the example that you need to put your priorities straight, you know, that you can't kill yourself for this job.
Well,
you know
what I mean? Also always keeping the dialogue open, the channels of communication open, because God can call us to something one day and he can call us right back out of it.
Absolutely.
The next week, the next year, the next 7, 10, 20, 30 years.
Absolutely.
That's why we always need to be open so we don't get stuck in that pattern and we could say, okay, God is actually calling me to do something else. What is God calling me to do today?
And man, he will make it super uncomfortable. Like if you're asking him, Lord, what is your will? Because I was, you know, when I was leaving the church, I had my hands over my ears and my eyes. And I was like, Lord, what's your will? What's your will? And he was showing me like, Elise, it's time to go.
Wait, when you said when I'm leaving the church, you don't mean leaving the Catholic Church.
Yes. Did I not tell you? No.
My gosh.
I'm talking about I left my position as the youth minister.
Right, okay. Yes.
Like I was so like, la, 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 you know? Yeah. And God was like, I mean, you knew all the crazy things that were happening. Yeah. It was like, he was going to push me out. And I was kicking and screaming,
just like anything
else.
Like when we're struggling like that in life, it's usually because we're not paying attention to God.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
But that's the thing is like you don't realize that like the Lord, this is the beautiful thing, is that the Lord had something more for that parish that you were at and for you. And the Lord had something more for me and that parish. Like they have a new youth minister now and I haven't gotten to meet him, but I've heard wonderful things about him. And like the kids are like, you know, you guys brought something, he brought something. And that's the beauty of it is that like, that's what God does. And like, yeah. And it isn't just for the church that he has something new. He had something new for me. He was calling me to something deeper. Like, he wants me to know my limitations so that I can flourish, so that I can grow, you know, like, it's like, I mean, I don't know why this just came to me, but like, when you get a plant, you have to figure out, like, does it need partial sun, full sun, whatever, you know, and it has these limitations. And if you put a partial sunlight flower in a full sun spot, it's gonna die. You know what I mean? Right. Like, and that's like kind of what it's like it. With yeah. limitations. It's like, we need to know our limitations so that we can go into full bloom. You know what I mean? And live in that full bloom. Otherwise, we're going to die. You know what I mean? And yes. then everything else around us is affected because we're the ugly plant that's dead and falling over.
And then we're
you know?
Angry at God because we're dead.
Right, exactly. And he's like, you're a partial sun plant.
Actually, I spoke to someone very wise today. You know who you are. And they gave me this great
you won't no, share with real, us?
I got real secretive just now. But she gave me this great analogy that I actually think somebody else told her, but I loved it so much. Don't want to share it. And it was just talking about a time and a place for things to grow like and flourish too, which it's a little different, but it's the same. And she was talking about how like when we start off growing a plant, it's in this little pot. Mm-hmm. But as it blooms yes. and it grows, it needs to be removed and planted somewhere else where yes. it can grow even yes, bigger yes, 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 into yes, what yes, God yes. has created it to be. And I was like, yes, oh I love gosh, this analogy. So when we're not listening to God and like keeping that dialogue, keeping that open, yeah. like we're stuck in this pot and we just, not only can we not grow and blossom, but like what God's hoping to do to people around us and the world yeah. around us is suffering as well.
Well, and like, which is so funny. I have this aloe plant that it needs to go into a bigger pot and it's starting to die.
You
like,
actually have a
yes,
plant.
Yes, I actually have a plant. And I keep being like, well, we need to repot this because it's going to die. And it's literally like, I have to show you inside. It's like going everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
And it's trying to grow up. It's trying to, you know, but it's such a great analogy because literally I can water this thing consistently. I can take care of it the way I've been taking care of it, but it needs something new. Yes. It needs something different.
It needs to be transplanted.
It does. So, but that's the beauty of like, God does, he does such good work when we're like, okay, I will go there, you know?
Well, and also it's time for something else to go get planted in that little yes. bitty yes. pot too.
Yes. Well, and I'm just, I really like today, I've had one of those days where like, I was able to see God, you know what I mean? Like oh, I really, and like I wasn't in the desert and just seeing how yeah. like this place that he has me from the outside world, like looks so desperate, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And like people are like, I'm so sorry you're going through this and da, 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 da. And I'm like, you know, yeah, it's very limited. Yeah, I really struggle at times. But then I stop and see what he's calling me to and the growth that he's giving me and the ways that he's freeing me. And like, it's so fruitful. Yes. You know what I mean? And I am like, I think, you know, you think you get to this point of intimacy with God and then he's like, nope.
Nope.
He's like, I want more, you know? And that's what I've been experiencing is this, you know, he's stretching me and growing me and you're right. It's like, I've been taken out of the pot. I don't even feel like I'm back in a pot yet. I'm kind of like mid, you know, like he took the plant out. I'm like, my roots are hanging out. The dirt's falling out, you know, but
you're
like
in the process yes. of moving to your new,
into my new pot.
Soil
yeah.
pot ground.
Mm, wonder what it will be.
Can't wait to see.
So do you have a word for me?
Well, after a high five.
Oh.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Oh, no, one more time. Got it.
I'm just going to stay still.
that high five got a little abusive. Poor butterflies. Oh. Anyway, okay, word of the day. Actually, it fits in really well.
Oh.
I'll give you a little hint.
Okay.
Even though I didn't tell you anything at all just now. No. Knackered. K-N-A-C-K-E-R-E-D. Knackered.
Oh, this is a good one for Louisiana.
Why?
Okay. So it's the time of year when you are swarmed by a bunch of gnats. And when you're swarmed, it's knackered. You're knackered.
You know, gnat ends with a t sound, not a k sound.
It's all right.
Okay, it's close enough. It actually means tired and exhausted.
Oh, wow.
So you're going to be able to use this word daily now.
William, I'm knackered.
Good morning, I'm knackered.
He's like, how are you doing today?
I'm knackered.
Oh, that's fun.
It's derived from the past participle of knacker, a slang term meaning to kill. Oh, my goodness. As well as to tire, exhaust, or wear out.
Man, I'm going to have to use this all the time.
I totally use that in a sentence.
Knacker. I think it's, I mean, come on, think about it. When you get swarmed by those stupid gnats, they knacker you.
You have officially been knackered or nattered. The things we come up with. Thank you guys so much for joining us today on Messy Buns Podcast. Let us know how you feel. Send us a message, follow us, subscribe, and give us a rating.
Yes, we are at Messy Buns Podcast on Instagram
and Facebook.
Woo!
Find us.